So good to worship the Lord. Good, so good to be reminded that we don't have to fear anything. We are not slaves, but we are the children of God. During the last few days, there has been a word that I have been thinking a lot about. And that word is called commitment. Especially because, as you all know, that our eldest daughter got engaged, and what happened was that this particular time that they were able to understand each other, they both, one of them proposed, the other said yes, and what it meant was a commitment that they made to one another. If you look at a word in Malayalam, I use modern technology when I don't understand a word. And for those who maybe not understand what is commitment means, I looked and the word says pratibaddhata. Pratibaddhata, you may be knowing, understanding what it means. Being committed, commitment. Commitment is very important for any kind of relationship to thrive. In my past days and years as a pastor, the Lord has given me the honor to officiate and conduct many weddings. And one of the key elements of a wedding is when the groom and the bride stand before God and in the presence of everyone who has gathered, and they take a solemn vow. A vow to, in the presence of God, in the presence of everybody who is gathered, that they will remain faithful and committed to one another. In fact, the wordings of the vow says, in riches or poor, or in death, in sickness or in health, I promise to be faithful to you. I promise to be committed to you. I know for those who are married here, one day, maybe you were sleeping at that time, or maybe you took it in a daze, and it may happen, but you took a vow in God's presence that you will be committed to your partner in marriage. And it's very important because it says till death do us part. And when we relate to the spiritual life, one day when we accepted Christ in our heart, we took a vow and said, Lord, I will be faithful till my death, till the last day of my life. And that is basically reiterated when you go into the waters of baptism. For those who got water baptized, you know that when the pastor brings you out of the waters, and before letting them go, there is a statement that every pastor, I believe, tells it to the person who gets baptized. And the statement is like this: be faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life. Marnatholam vishwastada namala arikanam. We have to be faithful. We have to be committed. And as I thought more and more, I feel that the Lord wants to remind us all about our commitment. A commitment to God that you will serve Him faithfully. Also a commitment to our marriage partners, our spouse, that we will be faithful and loyal to them and not turn to anybody else. Because if you do that, the Lord calls us adulterers and adulteresses. If we are looking to somebody else outside of that bond of marriage. This morning in my heart, I want to speak more on this, but I want to tell you about Christ and the church. We know that in the spiritual realm, Christ is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. And this is a relationship which is very much similar to that of a husband and a wife, because that's not me speaking. In Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm not going to read that verse, from 25 to 27, Ephesians 5:25-27, Apostle Paul said that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. In fact, Christ, just like a husband, should love the wife the way Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. You know, Christ took the initiative in that commitment story. This is more like, imagine two people having a relationship. They make a commitment. But even with that in mind, I want us to think about the commitment that God has for us. The main fact of the matter we understand is that God took the initiative. It was not man, it was God, when man could not reach out to God. God had formed a relationship with Adam and Eve, but through sin, they broke that relationship. And in the Garden of Eden, we know that God killed an innocent animal and clothed Adam, but he could not have them live in the Garden of Eden anymore. In fact, God, out of his love, he drove them out of the garden. But that was all bringing to the story of what Christ has done for us. It's the story of God and the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit working in unity and trying to, you know, create a unison between us. I want you to look at a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19. Where it speaks about that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was in his Son Christ reconciling the world to himself. And that is how the whole story of commitment started. So this is my thought on the base of the theme called commitment. Over the next few weeks, I want to speak about how each of us can live a life of commitment. I want to start with God first. I want to start how God made his commitment, because you know that it involves two people, God and us. Let us see what God has done and what we have to do. Today, I want to speak about how God was committed to bring the people back to himself. God's commitment to bring the world back to himself. And then also we're going to look at how Christ has committed himself to the church, to his church, his bride, as he is the bridegroom. Then we are going to discuss about the cost of our commitment in the coming weeks, God willing. I'm going to look into, so I want you all to pay attention to what I'm speaking, because this is very, very important in our daily life. What is the cost of our commitment? What will it cost us? We are going to look at that. And I'm also going to talk about how we can be committed in different areas of our life and our ministry. How can we be committed in different areas of our life and ministry? Let me start with God himself. You know, this will be my application number one. If you want to write it down, God is committed to our relationship. I want to show you today how God the Father, in conjunction with his Son Jesus Christ, how he is committed to us, how he has made himself committed to us. God is committed to our relationship. I will offer a few points so it'll be clear. Many times I like to make points, not to just kind of do something, but make things clear to you. The first point I would make is how God is committed to our relationship is that his Son Jesus Christ was offered to us as a sacrifice in our sinful state. നമ്മുടെ പാപികളായിരുന്നപ്പോൾ തന്റെ പുത്രനായ ക്രിസ്തുവിനെ നമുക്ക് വേണ്ടി ഓഫർ ചെയ്തു. ഗോഡ് ഓഫേർഡ് ഹിസ് സൺ ആസ് എ സാക്രിഫൈസ്. I want us to look at Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. These days in a study of Romans, I am getting to understand more and more about the what God has done and what we need to do. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Let me read out to you. It says, God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to look at this. There are three parts of this verse. One is the part of God that says God demonstrated, he showed his love. We demonstrate love to maybe our spouse or children, giving them a hug or giving them a kiss or saying I love you. We demonstrate to them outside, maybe not much in the Eastern culture, more in the Western culture, but we need to demonstrate our love. A husband demonstrates the fact that he's taking care of his family. He's taking care of his wife and children. The children demonstrate by hugging their parents and saying, Dad, Mom, we love you. Thank you for all that you have been doing for us. How did God demonstrate his love? By allowing his son Christ Jesus to die for us. It says Christ died for us. That's the part of Christ. God the Son. How did Jesus Christ demonstrate his love? By dying for us. Namakku vendi maricha Christu tande asneham nammale pradarshipichu. God Jesus showed his love towards us. But the key element I want to speak in this is in the middle. In the Madhya Bhagata, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ did for us. God loved us. You know, in the Old Testament, we see there are the people of God, when the children of Israel, they had to come to the altar, they had to bring a sacrificial animal. You know, why did God basically institute that? Because that was pointing out to the ultimate sacrifice of the Lamb of God. They did it through the centuries so people will understand what it means by a perfect sacrifice. When John the Baptist came to introduce Jesus, he said, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To a Jewish audience, that was not a big thing, because they knew that in order to get your sins purified, you need to kill a lamb. You need to bring an animal and kill it on your place. So Jesus was introduced as the lamb that takes away not one person's sin, the sins of the whole humankind. That was the greatest and ultimate sacrifice of all. This is a sacrifice that happened once. It cannot be repeated. When you look at Hebrews chapter 7 verse 27. Hebrews 10 27. Jesus did this once and for all as he offered himself as the sacrificial lamb. Also in Hebrews 9 28 it says, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Orikkalayittu. Christu tanne tanne elpichu as a sacrificial lamb to be killed for the sins of the entire world. The Apostle Paul, in writing in Romans 5:8, is insisting that nammala paavigal aayirunnappol, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So basically, God knew that we are turned away in the wrong way. He did not say, okay, you have to turn yourself correctly before I have a relationship with you. He did not say that. He died for us while we were sinners. Now what he expects from us, that we repent of our sins and trust in the finished work of Jesus. What Jesus did on the cross was finished. He completed his work because he ended his life on earth saying, it is finished. Sagalum purthiyai. Jesus spoke that statement on the cross saying that his work, the redemptive work that he was supposed to do as God's Lamb, was finished. And it happened on the cross. So today the message for us is that while we are living in our sin, There is a God who has provided a way of salvation for us. നമുക്ക് വേണ്ടി ഒരു രക്ഷയുടെ ഒരു വഴി കർത്താവ് തുറന്നു. ജീസസ് ഹാസ് ഓപ്പൺഡ് എ വേ ഓഫ് സാൽവേഷൻ. ഹി ഗേവ് എ വെരി കോസ്റ്റ്ലി സാക്രിഫൈസ് ടു ഗെറ്റ് എ ഗോട്ട് ഓർ എ ഷീപ്പ് ഓർ എ ലാംബ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് വർത്ത് സം മണി, ബട്ട് ടു ഗിവ് അപ്പ് യുവർ ഓൺ സൺ, യുവർ ഓൺലി ബിഗോട്ടൻ സൺ ഫോർ ദ സിൻസ് ഓഫ് ഹ്യൂമാനിറ്റി, ഇറ്റ് കോസ്റ്റഡ് ഗോഡ് ദി അൾട്ടിമേറ്റ് സാക്രിഫൈസ്, വേർ ഹി ഈവൻ ഹാഡ് ടു സ്റ്റെപ്പ് അവേ. For some time when Jesus was on the cross, it says it was utter darkness and the sins of the entire humanity was laid upon him. And at the end of the darkness, Jesus, instead of calling God, my Father, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father forsook his Son on the cross when he laid our sin upon his shoulder. And he bore the sins of humanity. Jesus became the sacrificial lamb for us on the cross. He did it for once and once for all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Christ was offered as a sacrifice when we were sinful. Let me come to the second point, how God committed in our relationship. Number two is that Christ was offered as a reconciler to us when we were separated from God. Romans chapter 5 verse 10 says, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. While we were enemies, പാപികളായിട്ട് മാത്രമല്ല ശത്രുക്കളായിരുന്നു. We were enemies. We were on the opposite side of the fence. As an enemy of God. Do you know that for one of the ways of salvation, there are many synonyms. One of them is reconciliation, which means to take away the barriers from a relationship. നമ്മുടെ ഒരു ആ relationship ൽ ചില വെച്ചിരിക്കുന്ന barriers to take it off. That is what is meant by reconciliation. From where did the barriers come? The barriers came from our end. We were ungodly, not like God. We were enemies to God. We were not on his side. It's all because of the bad choice that was in the Garden of Eden. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ellarum paavam cheythu deiva tejasi ina, you know, he has fallen short of that glory. But you know what? The love demonstration of God was through his Son, Jesus, who reconciled us back to God. നമ്മളും ദൈവമായിട്ട് യോജിപ്പിച്ചത് ആരാന്നറിയാമോ? It was his Son, Jesus, through his death on the cross. So today we have a way to have a relationship with God. The thing I would say how God reconciled us was that, how God is committed to our relationship, Christ was offered as the justifier of those who are guilty. Look to Romans 5:18. If you have your Bibles, please open to Romans 5:18. It says that through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. ഒരു വ്യക്തിയുടെ പാപം മൂലം എല്ലാവരുടെ മേലും ദൈവശിക്ഷ വന്നു. Because of the sin of Adam, the wrath of God, the judgment of God came upon everyone. Even so, one man's righteous act, the free gift has come that resulted in the justification of life. This is another word I want to introduce to you called justification. This is basically a courtroom terminology. What justification means that God has declared us as not guilty. Like a judge puts the gavel and says, not guilty. So the man does not have to go back to the prison. He is set free. God declared us not guilty through his Son Jesus Christ. And this is because he took the punishment on our behalf. He died on our behalf. His love he set so freely from the penalty of our sin. And let me tell you that there is no other way for us to reconcile with God unless we are being justified from our sins. But this is what God did all that. But when Christ came to the world, he started a new kind of a close relationship, a closer one with what God had. Because God's relationship with the old time Israelites was through the word of Moses or through the Ten Commandments written on the stone. But when Jesus came, he said, I'm going to institute a new commandment. Oru pudhiya kalpana, oru pudhiya relationship, a new covenant. And that's how Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. Njan ende sabaye paniyum. This church was built by Jesus to develop a closer relationship with all of us. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. I want to give you the second bit of the application is, Christ is committed to our relationship. Not only God is committed to our relationship, but Christ is committed to our relationship. Look to John chapter 15. Number one, Christ is committed to loving us. Kartava Yesu Christu has made a commitment to love us. Nammale snehikkanulla oru commitment Kartava eduthittundu. John 15:9. Adinte 9th vakyam nokka. As the Father loved me, I also love you. Ente pidavenne snehicha pole njanum ningaleyum snehikkunnu. You abide in that love. Now the word love is not kind of a love that we use in our day-to-day terminology. We say we love a car, we love somebody, we love our food, different terminologies for love. The root word for the love, as we all know, is the word agape. It's a sacrificial love. So Jesus said that, I love you. Just as the Father loved me, I love you. But beyond that, his love is a sacrificial love. It was a love that was so deep that he was willing to lay his life for us. Jesus sacrificed himself. This is the greatest form of love. I'm telling about many spouses, they say, hey, I'm willing to die for you if you want. I'm willing to stand in your place. We may say that. When it really comes to doing it, how many will really do it? That is a big question. It's very hard. But Jesus did it and showed. And so what he says, you abide in that love. Because I loved you, you abide in that love. During our difficult times, I want you to remember one thing. If not anything, God loves me. Jesus loves me. He is with me. He is ready to do everything for me. And that's why he has commanded us to abide in the love of God. Let me come to the third point here. How Christ is committed to our relationship is that he is committed to sacrificing for us. As I said, look here in verse number 13. John 15 verse 13. Jesus himself says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. There is no greater love. You take every form of love, but to a certain extent it falls down. But nobody will be willing to lay down your life for your friends. And that is a big thing that we need to think about. He laid down his life for us. He loved us so much that he was willing to give what he had. And that is from his standpoint. He said, yes, I am committed to you. I am laying down my life. He modeled that highest form of love. Jesus laid down. It was not the word, when you see the original language of Greek, the word says that Jesus chose to do it willingly. He was not forced to do it. He chose willingly to lay down his life. He did it because he was committed to that relationship that he had to have with us. He verbally committed it, and then he showed that commitment in action by laying down His love. Many of us verbalize. നമ്മൾ സംസാരത്തിൽ പറയും, ലോർഡ് ഐ ലവ് യു, ഗോഡ് ഐ ലവ് യു, ആസ് വി സേ ടു മെനി തിങ്സ്. ബട്ട് ഇൻ ദ ടൈം ദ ആക്ച്വൽ നീഡ്, ഹൗ മെനി ഓഫ് യു വിൽ ബി ദേർ, ഓർ ഹൗ മച്ച് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ലവ് ഇസ് ട്രാൻസ്ലേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ അവർ ഡീഡ്സ്? ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വെരി ലെസ്. സോ റിമെമ്പർ ദാറ്റ് ഹി സാക്രിഫൈസ്ഡ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് എ സാക്രിഫിഷ്യൽ ലവ്. ലെറ്റ് മീ കം ടു ദ തേർഡ് പാർട്ട് ഓഫ് ഹൗ ക്രൈസ്റ്റ് വാസ് ഹാസ് കമ്മിറ്റഡ് ടു അസ്, ടു അവർ റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ്. He is committed to journey with us all our life. നമ്മളോട് കൂടെ സദാകാലം കർത്താവായ യേശു ക്രിസ്തു, he has made a commitment. Look at chapter 15, John 15, 15. John 15, 15. You know, people have read this verse many different ways. I want to give you a new interpretation to this verse. Jesus said, no longer do I call you servants, for a servants do not know what a master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I made known to you. God took us out of that servant-master relationship to a more deeper level of that of a friendship. You know, this is a passage of Jesus speaking at the very end, the last hours of his life on earth. He had spent 3 years, and he very soon is going back to heaven. He was in a hurry to speak a lot of things before he went away from them. And so this is what he said. Why, friend, why did Jesus tell his disciples that you are no longer a servant, but you are going to be a friend? You know who is a friend really? That is a friend that you enjoy that fellowship, that communion all the time. That is a person that you call a friend. If you do not want to continue a relationship, you will not call somebody as a friend. A friend is somebody who you want to continue a deeper relationship. If only Jesus' commitment was till the cross, he would not have been talking about friendship to his disciples. Do you know that this was even prophesied by Moses about what Jesus would do when he was commissioning Joshua? You turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6. He's telling Joshua, but this is a prophecy coming to the New Testament. Moses tells to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Why do I say that there was a prophetical word? When you come to Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, the author of Hebrews has quoted this verse from Deuteronomy and said, for he himself said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus wants to continue a very close relationship with each of us. That is his commitment. He has stretched out his hands of friendship. He said, can you be my friend? Can we walk together every day? Can you listen to me? Can you hear me speaking? Can you talk back to me? Jesus expects us to journey through life having him as a friend. He is the best person you can open your heart and speak to. Because anybody else you speak, they take it wrongly. They may take it in their own way, how they look at it, but God knows our heart. He is the best friend when everybody else forsakes you. The Lord says, I am there with you. I will take you up. I am your friend. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there is no greater friend in this world than the Lord Jesus Christ. Let everybody forsake you. People, it's better to trust in God than to trust in people. You know for yourself, every relationship on this earth, they will backstab you. They will speak against you. They may think wrongly about you, but God will never do it. He knows us where we are, and we can always pour out our heart to speak to our friend. Finally, let me give you the fourth way how Christ is committed with our relationship. He is committed to work with us. നമ്മളോട് കൂടെ പ്രവൃത്തി ചെയ്യാൻ കർത്താവ് ഒരു ബാധ്യത എടുത്തിട്ടുണ്ട്. He has committed. Look to John 15:16. യോഹന്നാന്റെ സുവിശേഷം 15:16 നോക്കിയാട്ടെ. പ്ലീസ് ലുക്ക് ഇൻ യുവർ ബൈബിൾസ് എവറി വൺ ഓഫ് യു. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he will give you. എന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ പിതാവിനോട് എന്ത് യാചിച്ചാലും പിതാവ് അത് തരും. He will give it. You know, when you know the heart of a friend, if you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he will give it. You know, let me take your thoughts back to the people that Jesus chose as his disciples. I want you to think for a moment. They were very educated people in those times. The time of Jesus, the religious people, the high priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees who knew all the law. But do you know whom did Jesus choose? Among his 12 disciples, one was a tax collector. Nobody liked tax collectors. They hated them. We know for sure that at least 4 of them were fishermen. Do you know who was a fisherman? No education, illiterate people who have no sense and not commended by the world. They didn't have any list of accomplishments except that they would go to fish, the smelly fish they will bring, and they will sell for a living. 4 of them were fishermen, and one of the fishermen, he gave them the authority to lead his church. Can you believe that? It is to this group of people that Jesus said, I have appointed you, like a general or getting an appointment order. You go and produce fruit, and that your fruit will remain. Jesus said, I am there. I have chosen you. I have called you by name. I have appointed you. Why? You go and bear fruit. Not only just fruit that fades away, the fruit that remains. This you is not singular in the Greek word. It's a plural word. I have chosen you. He is committing to us. I have appointed you. He wants to use us mightily for the glory of God. Let me tell you, even after Jesus made that commitment today, do you know what is Jesus doing right now? As we live our life here, the word of God says that he is seated at the right hand of God. And he is interceding for us. He is making intercession for us. He is our high priest. He is telling God the Father, please allow her to live one more year. She will be right. She will come back. Allow him. Give him one more chance. Even though, you know, all this time for chances he has wasted, give him one more chance. God today is a gracious God. Devathinte krube onnu manasilaki. Let us not take advantage to refuse the offer, because as it says, it has a deadline. The time is passing away. There is a stop clock that is counting down the grace of God. Devathinte krubeku oru andhim undu. There is a time when the grace of God will stop and the judgment of God will start. And it will start with the house of God. Devathinte bhavanathila. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ന്യായവിധി തുടങ്ങാൻ പോകുന്നത്. അവർ ഗോഡ് ഈസ് എ ലവിംഗ് ഗോഡ്, ബട്ട് ഹീസ് ഓൾസോ എ കൺസ്യൂമിംഗ് ഫയർ. ദഹിക്കുന്ന അഗ്നിയും കൂടിയാ. വി ഷുഡ് നെവർ ഫോർഗെറ്റ് അബൌട്ട് ദ ഫാക്ട് ദാറ്റ് ഗോഡ് ഈസ് എ റൈച്ചസ് ഗോഡ്, ഹീസ് എ ജസ്റ്റ് ഗോഡ്, ഹീസ് എ ലവിംഗ് ഗോഡ്, ബട്ട് ഹീസ് എ ജസ്റ്റ് ഗോഡ് ആസ് വെൽ. ആൻഡ് അഗെയിൻ ആൻഡ് അഗെയിൻ വെൻ ഗോഡ് സ്പീക്ക് ടു അസ്, ലെറ്റ് അസ് ബി കെയർഫുൾ ടു ലിസൺ വാട്ട് ഹീസ് ടെല്ലിംഗ് അസ് and obey him. Get right with our lives. How much louder can God speak to us than what he is doing today? In this global pandemic, our intelligence, our efficiency, whatever knowledge has come to zero. Zero. We cannot stand against a virus. We are afraid against an enemy that is unseen. No matter how much man has progressed, there is nothing that anybody can do. When God allows something in our life, I truly believe that this is an eye-opener for us to get closer to God. Know that our life is not temporary. Our life is going to end one day in the very near future. And if we do not come to the path that God has, remember, it's our eternity at stake, where we will answer before God one day. Each of us. Nobody has to answer for anybody else. We will answer before the throne of Christ. For a moment, I want us to think, as I'm going to close right now. As I told you about the commitment of God and the commitment of Christ, I have always said that the commitment is a two-sided part. It's two people committed to the relationship. There are two people in the whole relationship game. God committed himself. Christ is committed. Even now he is committed to us. I want to ask about our life. One day we said, Lord, I'm going to serve you. No other. I'm only going to listen to you. I'm going to have a relationship with you. You are my heavenly Father. I recently read a story that I want to mention to you, just for you to understand. Even a little part of your life, if you give to Satan, how he will take advantage. നമ്മുടെ ജീവിതത്തിന്റെ ഒരു ഭാഗം പോലും നമ്മൾ സാത്താൻ കൊടുത്താൽ, ഡു യു നോ ദാറ്റ് ഹി വിൽ റൈഡ് ഓവർ യു? ദിസ് ഈസ് എ സ്റ്റോറി ഓഫ് എ മാൻ ഹു വാണ്ടഡ് ടു സെൽ ഹിസ് ഹൗസ്. വൺ ഓഫ് ഹിസ് നെയ്ബേഴ്സ് വാണ്ടഡ് ടു ബൈ ദാറ്റ് ഹൗസ് വെരി ബാഡ്ലി, ബട്ട് ഹി വാസ് പൂവർ, സോ ഹി കുഡ് നോട്ട് അഫോർഡ് ദ ഫുൾ പ്രൈസ് ഓഫ് ദ ഹൗസ്. ആഫ്റ്റർ എ ലോട്ട് ഓഫ് ബാർഗെയിനിങ് ദ ഓണർ ഡിസൈഡഡ് ടു സെൽ ദ ഹൗസ് അറ്റ് ഹാഫ് ദ പ്രൈസ്, so that this man can buy. But there was one stipulation. He will retain the ownership of one nail that was protruding from outside the front door. He said, this is mine. The entire house is yours, but this one nail at the front of the house, that belongs to me. I can do anything with that nail. The man was thrilled. I mean, what can anybody do with a nail? So he agreed. The transaction was made. And after some years passed, the original owner said, now I want my house back. I want you to sell it to me back. This man said, no, this is my house. I cannot give you. You can have the nail, but you cannot have the house. So what did the first owner do? He went around. He found a dog that was dead. A dead dog. He got that dog and he put the dead carcass on top of the nail. He put the nail on that dead dog. And soon, there was nothing he could do because that nail belonged to this man. He said, I can do everything with the nail. So that dead dog started producing a bad smell. Sometimes they tried to close the door, but after some time, they could not stay in that home anymore because of the smell of that dead dog that was protruding from the door. And then he was forced to sell that house back at a very low price back to the original owner. Let me give you a spiritual understanding in our life. If there is one peg in your life that you are not surrendered to God, you have given place to the devil. Remember, he will come to ask his pound back. He will make your life miserable if you are not totally surrendering to God. He will make it unfit for Christ to dwell in your hearts because of the stench of this dead animal in your life. Can you be totally committed to God today? This is my question I wanted to ask you. Christ has done everything he could. God has done everything from his end. He has sacrificed his life. He says today we are his friends. He wants to work alongside with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to have a relationship with us. I want to ask this question. Does our words and our actions line up to our commitment to Christ? You know, the question is not if we know Him. The question is whether He knows us. നമ്മള് കർത്താവിനെ അറിയുന്നുള്ള ചോദ്യമല്ല. Everybody knows about Christ. The question is, does He know you? കർത്താവിനെ നമ്മളെ അറിയാമോ? I want to read one more verse as I close here. Matthew chapter 7. Very, very important word. Verses 21 to 23. Everyone, I want you to listen to this word very carefully. Jesus said like this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Depart from me. What is Jesus talking about? About whom? People who are prophets. People who do miracles. People who do wonders in the name of Jesus. യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ നമ്മൾ ഇന്ന് പൊക്കി വെച്ചേക്കുന്ന അനേകർ, that day Jesus would say, I never knew you. നിന്നെ എനിക്ക് അറിയത്തു പോലും ഇല്ല. What does it mean? There was no relationship with him. I want us to renew our commitment, everyone. Can you stand up on your feet right now as we are going to worship the Lord? നമുക്ക് ഇച്ചിരി നേരം ദൈവത്തെ ഒന്ന് ആരാധിക്കാം, കർത്താവിനെ ഒന്ന് ആരാധിക്കാം. Today, let us, as we are going to enter into the table, even before that, I want us to prepare our hearts today. I am praying and I am praying that God has spoken to our hearts. If there is anything in your life that is not pleasing to God, every eye is closed. If there is anything in your life, I want you to look into your life. This is not a time to think about anybody. Even you who are sitting in your home right now, you're watching. I want you to close your eyes and examine your heart and say, is there a place that I have not given fully to the hand of God? Is there a place in my life? How is my commitment to God? How is my commitment to my relationships with my spouse, with my children, with following after you? How is my commitment to live a life of Christ in this world? Can we just surrender ourselves? Can you surrender yourself before God? Each of us, can you pray? Please open your mouths and I want you to pray to the Lord and ask God, Lord, help me to renew that commitment. You know, marriage spouses, they take commitment. They say renewing the vows. After 25 years, 50 years, they stand again. Why? Because they are renewed. They think back of the original vow they made to one another. I believe that we have to renew our life and our commitment to God. Whenever we come in the presence and remember what Christ has done for us. Remember how God has loved us. And let us renew and say, Lord, I belong to you only. No other person.